How are we doing? Yes, we good? Great. It's so good to see you. So my name's Luke. I'm the young adults pastor here. So I work with 18 to 30s. I've also been accepted to train with the Church of England for to become a vicar, which is a bit scary. So I'll look dashing in a dog collar soon enough. So we've got a... We have lots of residential teaching weekends and weeks, so that's why you've maybe not seen as much of me. And I've just been on one, so we had like 21 lectures. We were away for 7 days. It was very intense. So we had teaching from some of the sharpest theological minds. We had Rowan Williams, who was the old Archbishop of Canterbury, whose brain is actually the size of a planet. He didn't have any notes, and he didn't even have a watch or a clock, and he spoke for an hour and a half, and he finished at 11:59. They were supposed to finish at 12, and that, if I took anything from the week, that's what I took. Unbelievable time management. But we covered some massive theological topics, and I basically came away thinking, well, that there is actually no right answer, and it's actually left me with way more questions than I had before, so you can be encouraged. But what it did affirm is that we are the direction of travel that we're going in and where we want to be going. And the vision is Jesus, ultimately. So that's kind of a little bit about what we want to speak about this evening. We are in pursuit of God. So we're going to crack straight on, jump into the Bible. We're going to read from Matthew 14. I'm going to have it on the screens. But if you want to grab it, a Bible, you can put your hand up or you can follow on your phones. Now, this is a story probably everyone in this room has heard, even if you've never been to church before, the Jesus walking on the water. And I just want to take a little, take a gem from this story as we move on to the rest of the evening, where we're going to be thinking about the direction that we're headed as a service at St. Barnabas Church. So let's read, let me read for us from Matthew 14, starting at verse 22, Jesus walks on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side of the lake, that is. While he dismissed the crowd, so just context, this is the feeding of the 5,000 that just occurred. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Context, it's a storm. It's a big storm on the lake. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them. So this is about 3 a.m., 4 a.m., walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Jesus got down, Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Come on. I love this story. It's so good. And just to quickly go over it, because we've not got loads of time. But Jesus here is doing an incredible thing. So as I mentioned, as we were reading, this is a stormy night and it's like 3 a.m. in the morning, 4 a.m. And when I imagine this scene, I imagine like a clear blue sky, the sun beating down. Peter's got his Ray-Bans on and he kind of climbs out and walks along the water. And it's like, you can imagine how it's a doable task. Well, I can at least. I'm always trying to put myself in the story. But the fact that this is a storm and it's the middle of the night, I think just adds such a bigger element of this to this story, that the waves are crashing, there's fishermen that are in the boat and they're terrified, it says in the word, which we need to take notice of. And I read a cool thing where it talks about the human experience, the human journey is a battle. It's one of faith versus fear. And I think this comes to life in the story that we read, because it is the decision that Peter makes between staying in the boat or going out on the water, so having faith or having fear. And I think that that's very much the journey that we tread as we kind of try and navigate our way through life. Because there is the comfort of the boat, or the relative comfort in the middle of a storm in the dark. Or there is this incredible adventure that Peter sees Jesus inviting him into. Because Jesus is coming towards the boat. He's coming to encounter and to meet the disciples. Yet Peter sees an opportunity for further adventure with Jesus, for further encounter with the Lord. And he steps out of the boat, having sought counsel from Jesus himself. And the message that we want to take from this story is a quote from John Ortberg. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. Now, if you're a Christian, if you've been in church for any longer than a year, you've probably heard a sermon on this before. It's a great story and it's a great passage. But I think it rings true, and it's something for all of us today to really reconsider and think about. You see, God is a good father. Peter Landry spoke a couple of weeks ago. He used the example of his baby daughter, that he doesn't mind that she can't walk. And when she makes mistakes, he doesn't point and laugh at her and say, oh, you can't walk yet. He wants to grow her to be a person who can walk. But he said, you know, if she's 21 and she's still lying on her side, not trying to walk, then he's going to be frustrated. And it speaks of, I think this image speaks of the fact that God isn't going to force feed us. He's a loving father, and he's not going to force us to love him or to force us to grow. He wants to give us our daily bread. He's not going to strap us to a high chair and force feed us puree broccoli. He wants to help us through. So this evening, I want us to think about the fact that we have a role to play in our faith and in our development. And if we want to walk on the water, we've got to get out of the boat. You see, in culture today, we have a real attitude of you do you, you be whoever you want to be, it's cool, man, it's fine, don't worry, it's not what you do, it's who you are that matters. And there's so much truth in that. There's so much truth in that. And that's a brilliant truth to have in your heart if you're someone like me and you're driven by the successes in your life. But in many ways, the pendulum has swung back the other way. And we are guilty, I think, of being a culture, specifically in the church, where we feel like we don't have to strive or work at our faith. But I'm here to encourage you that when we step out of the boat, we can walk on the water and go into further and deeper encounter with the person of Jesus. And we here at St. Barnabas, we are desperate to check whether or not we are walking on water, whether we're getting out of the boat. And this evening is us stepping into that place of just self-assessment and thinking, where are we at? Where do we want to be? Are we in the boat or are we out of the boat? Or perhaps we're sort of kind of half sinking, scared of the waves, but it's okay because we've got Jesus by the hand and he's saying, have faith, it's okay. So, in light of that, we're going to look at the world's vision. We're going to look at the vision for the church, Big C Church. And we are going to look at our vision for this service. Okay, in three parts. Sound all right? Yes, okay. Can I have it so I can see the next slide and the time? Otherwise, we'll be here till 8 p.m. Maybe. There's no clock up there anymore. All right, so the world's vision. There was an incredible report by an organization called Barna, and they partnered with World Vision to do a generational study looking at 18 to 35-year-olds. And they spoke to 15,000 people from 24 different countries across the world this year, 25 countries. And they came up with five conclusions that define the attitude of the generation. And you might not be in that age bracket, but I think it speaks of the culture that's being formed and shaped by a lot of the main leaders that we have in business and in the world. So I'm just going to go through these five World Vision statements from this report. The first of which is connected but alone. Despite being a hyper-connected and globally minded generation, we're on Instagram, we're on the internet all the time, on Facebook, on Twitter, many young adults say they feel lonely. And I think if we're all honest with ourselves, a lot of us would put ourselves in that category. But there is also a spiritual openness in culture today. There's a general and at times surprising openness towards spirituality, religion, and in many cases, the church, but less so among those who have their faith. And there is an age of anxiety. Again, similar to the first one, I'm sure some of us can relate to this. Worry and insecurity fed by house prices, finances, vocations, a kind of ever-fluctuating society, which kind of presents us with anxieties. And it's a chaotic and complex time if we think politically as well. Then we are looking for answers. Human suffering and global conflicts were found in the study to be among the top issues that raise spiritual doubts for 18 to 35-year-olds. But there's a lot of this feeling that we are looking and searching for answers. And finally, longing to make a difference. Young adults are engaging with communities, and there is a real desire for concrete teaching. There's a desire for opportunities to fight for injustice and for friends to join them along the way. Now, these are quite blanket statements, but just to have this context as we carry on, to think about where we're at, what is our cultural moment, and where are we moving towards. And so keep that in your head, and we're going to move on to the church's vision. And I'm going to ask for some feedback in a moment. So the church's vision, we see the church, the early church in Acts, as a body of believers who are sent by God and by Jesus to bring his kingdom to earth. And the point of this service is for us as a community to look at that direction of travel that I spoke about at the start of the service. And where are we fitting into the church's vision? And how are we bringing that vision to the local area and to this church in particular? So there are three things that I've picked out that we're going to talk about in just a moment. So the first is a picture of the kingdom coming. That's largely what Jesus came on earth to do, to show us that God is near and to give us a picture of who he is as a person. The church is also there to provide a loving community. There's a lot in church. We don't do things alone. God is a relational God, and we are relational people, and everything that we do is from a place of love and community and relationship. And finally, the church is a place for healing and a place for growth. We're here to spur each other on, to strengthen and encourage one another, as Paul says to Timothy. And we are here to heal the brokenhearted and then to grow as a community. So what I'd love you to do on your tables is to look at these questions and just think about what these three things look like on a Sunday. What do these three things look like during the week? And where are we falling short? So perhaps this is in a St. Barnabas context. You might go to a different church, or you might be speaking in a more general terms. But there is some paper on your tables or near you. And if you want to jot down any ideas, that's great. If you just want to discuss it, that's great. I've written both things down here. But just spend 5 minutes on your tables, just discussing a few of these things. How are we being a picture of the kingdom coming? How are we being a loving community? And are we being a place for healing and a place for growth? And any outstanding ideas or things you want to jot down, then do. But go. 5 minutes. Go. You unravel me with a melody. Just there. You surround me. The good news is you can come to the pub with us after the service, the tally-ho, and keep talking about it. Hopefully that was a helpful discussion. So, as Pete so aptly prayed, and I did not brief him, that we are the body of Christ. We are in this together. We are, as that passage says, we are one body with many parts. And the body of Christ really is such a fitting metaphor to describe the church. And it's something that we really need to remember and reflect in the way that we do church. And what we're really, really keen to do, to encourage and to pursue after, is that we all join together as the body to move forwards in our pursuit of God. And that means that everyone needs to be involved. And I think I just want to apologize for anyone who feels like we are an us and them church, or we are a church who wants to take the limelight, take the stage, take the microphone and dictate and speak and tell. You might be sat there thinking, I've got all these gifts and no one's once come to ask me what I can do and how I can contribute. I'm here to say I'm sorry if you feel that way, and to encourage you that we really want you to be involved in this body of Christ. We want everyone here to take part in our services. And if there is something that you feel passionate about, then I want to encourage you to step out the boat. It can be quite scary. It can feel like an unknown thing to do, but do have the confidence to just say, hey, I'd love to be involved in praying. I'd love to be involved in serving tea and coffee. I would love, more than anything, Lord, I would love to be on the parking team. And if that's you, step out of the boat. It's going to be okay. The Lord will meet you in an incredible way. So let's look at a vision. We have come up with six things that we are hungry for as a service, and six things that we want to really step into as a group of people and as a community. And I'm going to leave some space for you guys to discuss and feedback. But this is a list of me and some of the members of this service and some of the leadership have prayed over. We've sought the Lord on, and this is what we've come up with. Let me just run through them. So the first is that we are hungry for the presence of God. Amen? Encouraging start. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I've got that one written down as well. God is funny. So we want to go after intimacy with God. We want to go after worship with song and with prayers and with giving. We want to be a community that prophesies, that speaks life into situations. We want to be a community that are going after activation in the gifts of the Spirit, helping you, walking you step by step. What does it look like to sing in tongues? Does that mean that I'm crazy, or what is there to it? Just doing some baby steps, that kind of thing. And listening to the Spirit. God is speaking. God is all around us. And we want to be listening to what He's saying and acting upon it, as David and Adrian kind of showed us today, and Pete as well, praying into the topic of the sermon without knowing it. So the questions that I want you to just percolate and think about: where are we doing this well? How can we do this better? Is this something that we want to be doing? Just as I go through these six. The second of which is that we want to be hungry for prayer and fasting. And a quote from Karl Barth: to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. Prayer is foundational to everything that we do. If we think that we can do church without prayer, then we are missing the very thing that is going to enable us to flourish. And we want to set a culture of prayer here. We want to do that through lots of prayer meetings and just really soak and saturate everything we do in prayer. We want to be teaching about healthy patterns of prayer and fasting, and they do go together. If you've never fasted before, it's something that's quite strongly on my heart, and we want to really speak about the power of that. We want to facilitate the exploration of discipline, something which we are hungry for, I think, as a culture, something that we are missing as well. And finally, we want to contend for the community, local and global, through prayer. We want to see things happen. We want to see things changed. And that's only going to happen through prayer and fasting. Where are we doing this well? How can we do this better? Is this something for our community? Holiness. We want to be hungry for holiness. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We live in a really dark time. There's a lot of darkness out there, and our holiness being set apart for the glory of God is one of the best witnesses that we have in our arsenal. And it's one of the most joyous things to God when we set ourselves apart from the evil in the world to say that we are going to be holy, we are going to leave our bodies as living sacrifices, and we're going to pursue after God. And we want to be a community marked out and set apart for His glory. We want to be a community whose purity draws others in. And we want to be a community who become more like Christ each week. Where are we doing this well? How could we do this better? Is this something for us? We want to be hungry for the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed. Did anyone sing that song at primary school? It's a great tune. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word of the Lord is foundational. It's like prayer. We can't go without it. It's where we look for truth. So we want to be a community that's pursuing God through studying the word. We want to be spending more time with God through the word, and we want to be growing deep roots through the word so that when the winds blow, we can stand firm for the gospel. Where are we doing this well? How could we do this better? Is this something for us? Evangelism. We want to be hungry for evangelism. We want to see the kingdom come. So Luke 10, 2 and 3, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. That's not very inspiring, is it? Going to get eaten. But we've got God, so we won't be eaten. This is a task for everyone. Evangelism is not just the role of people like Dave who love talking about Jesus. It's not just for the Healing on the Streets team. It is for, newsflash, each and every single one of you sat here. We need to be telling people of the gospel, speaking of how Jesus is changing our lives and changing the community around us through evangelism. We want to be intentional about bringing other people to church. We want to be asking God to break our hearts for lost souls. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's one that the church needs to pray. Otherwise, we're going to be carrying on our vision of evangelism by reproduction, and the church will be dead. Where are we doing a cheery note there? Where are we? It won't be, because God is good. Where are we doing this well? Where are we not? Is this a vision for us? And finally, this is a two-part one. We are hungry for community. Acts chapter 2, 43 to 47. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. This is the early church. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, this vision for community, this is both local and for our church as well. So for our local area, one of our mission statements, you know, we want to be a transforming presence in the heart of the High Road. That's one of the reasons why we moved our building. We used to be in the suburbs, for anyone who's not been around. For the purpose of transforming this, the darkness that is in the community around us, we want to be a light here. We want to be living out Jesus' message. We want to be welcoming people in, and we want to be bringing light to the darkness by speaking openly about Jesus' life-changing characteristics and welcoming others into this community. And hungry for the church community, we want to be a community built on gratitude, on generosity, on hospitality, on vulnerability, on love, on forgiveness. We want to be sacrificing some of our desires for the good of the community. It takes time, it takes love, it takes sacrifice to build a cohesive community. And there's several ways that we want to do that, and I'll speak about a few of those in a moment. But again, where are we doing this well? How can we do this better? And is this a vision for us? So there was a piece of paper on your tables. It has writing on it on the other side, if you haven't flipped it over, with the six values written on there. Just in a few moments, like, maybe you don't have to answer this for all of them. You might want to add some values in. You might just want to highlight one that particularly speaks to your group. But just spend a couple of minutes, just talk about what's captured your excitement. What do you think we're really thriving in? What do you think is a real lack for us? And is there anything that we've missed or we've not, you know, where any misdirection? So just speak into that. Just 5 minutes on your tables. Go. Four. So apologies, but we're using this service to try and to hear what you think as well, as trying to explain what we're the journey that we're going on essentially. So the purpose of being able to write stuff down is so that we can read it, go back over it, use it to hone and chip away and build in the vision that we want for this service, and to try and ensure that we are fulfilling our vision of heading towards Jesus. So if there are burning things you want to write down or great things that have come up in your discussion, as I'm speaking, do just jot those on the paper so that we can get an idea of your thoughts. We want to listen to you, and we can't do that if it's not written down. Amazing. Great. So with this in mind, I just want to talk about some of the ideas and changes that have come out from wanting to pursue these six things that we're hungry for. And the discussion I was in was speaking about how these things all feed into each other and you can't take one out, and it all flows together. So things that we want to do, ideas slash possible changes that we are hoping to make or that we've thought of. Worship nights. We had an incredible worship night a couple of weeks ago after our 24/7 prayer week. 24/7 prayer is going really well. We're doing more of that. And we want to add in more worship nights for the service. We're thinking monthly, but a community who worships together, who really sees that as a priority, is something that we really want to push towards. Another thing that we want to do, something that's on my heart, is creating a bit of a more comprehensive after-hours program. So we are a two-part service. The first part is here. The second part is at the Tally Ho Pub, where we continue in community. We can talk, chat, and do life together. So we want to be doing more things like a quiz night after a service, one night at the pub, doing a worship night, another service, and then maybe doing like a film night or something, another service. Creating more events that also given us an avenue to bring people into the church, to invite others in, but also to build that community, as we've discussed. If you really like that vision and you'd like to get involved, there's currently a non-existent team that are going to run it. So do speak to me if that really catches your imagination. Prayer, pre-service prayer meeting. We've been starting to meet at 4:30 to really cry out to God for the service, for you guys, for the evening itself, that we would really glorify God, that we would get out of the way and do what he wants to do. And we want to build that into the culture of this service. We can really, there's a vision that Adrian's got particularly to see people coming early to church to come and start praying, and that's going to roll straight into the worship at the start of the service. And we really want to get that culture going. God at work. We are aware that you're at church for a small percentage of your time. We want to see God at work throughout your whole lives, throughout the whole week. And we want to leave space to hear about how God is moving, how God is working, even in the bad stuff, in the pain, in the suffering, but also in the joys and the successes of life. We want to give space for us to share. You know, this week I had a flat tire. I'm being made redundant and my dad is really sick, but you know what? Like, I've just felt God's peace all week. And just being able to share and encourage, build one another up, and talk about how God is at work. And community, we want to be encouraging everyone in this service and everyone in the church for that matter to be part of a life group, a life hub, a group that meets once a week outside of a Sunday setting or a church service setting, where you can eat together, meet together, and speak about God's word, pray for each other, and just encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are the best service for life hubs. We have the most by a stretch from any of the services. And that's something that we want to continue in and grow in. And finally, this is the most contentious one of the lot. We are hoping, or the idea has been raised, to change the name of the 5 p.m. service. Whew, tension.
Change?
So this is to kind of, what we want to do is we want to name what is already happening. A lot of what I've spoken about is what we're doing already, but we're just trying to identify where we're at in that journey of stepping out on the water, walking towards Jesus. And we feel that changing the name, Hungry is the suggestion of the name change that we've got to match the vision, Hungry. And this is to name where we're at, but also to prophetically speak into where we want to go. And just to highlight and provide informationally what this service is, and to kind of put the name on the tin. So that's the vision. And I appreciate that some of you may hate that idea. There's the Christian buzzword alarm is going. But that's where we're at. And it's not a conclusive thing. But that is just I did write them down. There you go. I wrote them down. So they are some ideas. So again, in your tables, hopefully you've still got space. Use the back of your sheet. If you need some more paper, put your hands up and we can get some to you. But I want your comments on one of these ideas, if you love it, if you hate it, some other ideas. Particularly interested in the name change, if you love it, if you hate it, if you're indifferent. If you've got a different name you think is great, I like the name Pursuit, but I've not said that to anyone. Cat likes it. There you go. There's two. So yeah, 5 minutes. This is your service. Just write down some things, thoughts, feelings, suggestions, questions. Go. If you want more paper, wave at Adrian. Amazing. Oh, Adrian's going to come around and collect those in. If you wave them at him as he comes around. So just to encourage you that this is a process of kind of honing, of refining. And I just went onto the St. Barnabas website to check what our actual vision statement is, so that I wasn't going totally off-piste. Just listen to this paragraph, because this is just highlighting that we are part of St. Barnabas Church. This is our overall vision. And just as a service, we just want to be intentional at calling us out to make sure that we really are stepping into everything God has for us. So it reads, St. Barnabas has become a large visionary community with a passion to see God at work amongst us. We are passionate about our faith, about the Bible, and about God. And we also believe that our church should be a community of love, fun, and laughter. We are committed to seeing our lives transformed by an experience of the love of God, and then sharing all that we have received with a hurting world, desperately in need of Jesus' love. So we're not here to reinvent the wheel, we're just here to critically think about, are we stepping out of the boat? Do we want to walk on water and adventure towards Jesus? So I was wondering if I could encourage you guys to stand with me. We're gonna worship together. We're gonna hear from the Lord. And we've invited a lot of discussion, and we've spoken a lot about us stepping out of the boat as a community. But right now, as we finish, I just wanna challenge you about stepping out of the boat individually. Because our community is built up of individuals, and it takes all of us to want to step out of the boat and walk towards Jesus for us to make big changes. And so I just want you to be really honest and really real with yourself. What are the comforts of the boat that I'm holding on to? What are the things that are stopping me from stepping out? The wind and the waves and the darkness, the big, bad, scary world. Maybe it's a casual Netflix addiction, or some friends you know you probably shouldn't hang out with that much, or a more sinister addiction. Or maybe it's just some lies that you're believing about yourself at the moment. We be a community who says, Jesus, if that is you, then ask me to come out of the boat. Because Jesus will say, it's me, come and take those steps, come into relationship and adventure with me, because there is so much more. It might be scary, but if you have faith, you will walk on the water. Because in Him is fullness of life. And that which is not from Him is just here to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you want to step out the boat tonight, if you want to leave some of that behind, then do business with God. Come and step into this space that we have by the drum kit on your right, or even just step a few steps forward where you are.